Open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord is risen. Alleluia. O come, let us worship him.
O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. He is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia. O come, let us worship him. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Alleluia. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Alleluia. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Alleluia. Send forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. Alleluia. The Old Testament lesson for Jubilate is written in the fourth chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 25th verse. To whom then will you liken me? Who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these, who brings out their army by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is lacking. Why do you say to Jacob and speak to Israel, My way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me is disregarded by my God? Haven't you known? Haven't you heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, doesn't faint. He isn't weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. He increases the strength of him who has no might. Even the youths faint and get weary, and the young men utterly fail. But those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in the second chapter of the first epistle of St. Peter, beginning at the 11th verse. Beloved, I beg you, as foreigners and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having good behavior among the nations, so in that of which they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they see, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore subject yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers, and for praise to those who do well. For this is the will of God, that by well-doing you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your freedom for a cloak of wickedness, but as bondservants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be in subjection to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the wicked. For it is commendable if someone endures pain, suffering unjustly, because of conscience toward God. For what glory is it if, when you sin, you patiently endure beating? But if, when you do well, you patiently endure suffering, this is commendable with God. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. He sent redemption unto his people, alleluia. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day and thus enter into his glory, alleluia. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, A little while and you will not see me. Again a little while and you will see me. Some of his disciples, therefore, said to one another, What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you won't see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, What is this that he says? A little while. We don't know what he is saying. Therefore Jesus perceived that they wanted to ask him, and he said to them, Do you inquire among yourselves concerning this? That I said, A little while, and you won't see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Amen, amen, I tell you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she gives birth, has sorrow because her time has come. But when she has delivered the child, she doesn't remember the anguish anymore, for the joy that a man is born into the world. Therefore you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Here ends the gospel. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. In that he liveth, he liveth unto God. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. In that he liveth unto God. Alleluia. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Were you to read our introit and gospel side by side, it'd seem at first as if they really didn't go along together. As we see in the gospel, our Lord speaks of his leaving in a little while, causing the disciples to weep and lament, and the world, he says, to rejoice. He compares this lament of the disciples to a pregnant woman's sorrow when her hour has come, her time of labor. And so we're talking about time of a woman's labor, and then our psalm says right next to it, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise." Now, how many of you husbands and fathers out there, when you were with your wife in the labor and delivery room, turned to her and said, "Shout for joy, dear. Sing glorious praise, honey." Well, none of you did, of course, because you didn't want to risk your life. And that's the same instinct that we have when a brother Christian suffers. When he may have cancer or a disease, when he may be depressed in the nursing home or the hospital, if they're struggling with a divorce that they don't want, or maybe they have legal issues for being true to the faith. Our instinct isn't to command them to shout for joy or to sing God's glorious praise. Instead, we want to tell them to keep their chin up, keep going. We tell them it'll get better somehow, although we never quite have a vision or an idea of how or when it will get better. And same for the apostles here in the gospel. Our Lord has told them three times throughout his ministry that he'd be betrayed and crucified. And on this night, the night of his betrayal, he told them that he'd, for a little while, not be with them or be seen by them. And the disciples, they understood little of what he was talking about, but this much they did understand. They understood that the Lord, for whatever reason, wouldn't be with them. For 4 years they had walked with the Lord. They traveled with him, heard him teach, saw him perform miracles against disease and storms and demons. They saw the Jews attack him again and again and again. And now what they know is he will suddenly be gone. That they were going to be left alone. That there would be no one to protect them as his enemies rejoiced. They don't want to shout for joy right here in this gospel. They want to mourn and lament because they'll be without their Lord and they don't know why. If you had told them here in this moment, "Sing praises," they would have given you the same threatening look as a woman in labor. And yet still, this is the day when the church picks this psalm, "Shout for joy to God, sing the glory of his name." And more than that, it goes on to say, "Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing." That is, they come feigning reverence toward you. The apostles are suffering. We suffer while the world rejoices. And yet the psalm says, his enemies in the world will bend the knee to him, even if they have to feign it. But that doesn't look like what we're going through right now. That doesn't look like what the apostles are going through. So again, this psalm feels like a complete contradiction to the gospel, as if it just doesn't fit the theme of our day. But that's only if you read it one time. Keep reading the psalm and the gospel. Keep meditating on them. Go deeper into these readings, and you'll see that the psalm actually does capture our Lord's words perfectly. He tells us, "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." That is, your suffering, our suffering,
It has a purpose. The woman in labor, she suffers for a little while, but not forever. She suffers for a purpose, knowing that there's a time when the suffering will end and that then there will be life. And the greater the suffering and sorrow, the greater the joy of that life will be. Again, the suffering ends, but the joy that she holds will be forever. And same when our Lord is betrayed. He anguished in the garden as he prayed. He suffered when he was arrested, when he had blasphemy spoken against him, when they lied about him, when they scourged him, when he, in humiliation, hung on the cross, and when he died for our sin. Great was his suffering. And same for the disciples. On that same night, they ran in fear. Peter wept bitterly. John and Mary left the cross in tears. And then the 11 hid and locked themselves in the upper room. There was suffering everywhere they looked, but the suffering had purpose. And that purpose was the glory of the resurrection. And because our Lord suffered for our sin, the Father no longer remembers our sin. We no longer need to remember the anguish of our guilt as we're forgiven. His great suffering for us means the joy of the life of the resurrection is ours. And it's also true for us today. We suffer in sorrow, whether it be from disease and broken families, or persecution and war, or death and darkness, but the suffering is only for a little while. It will end, which means it does have a purpose. The woman in labor, the disciples locked in the upper room, we Christians right now who suffer, we ask why Christ left, why we seem to be without him. We ask where he is in our suffering, but the truth is, he may not be like us, he may not be with us like he was when he walked the earth in his ministry. But even though he's ascended, he hasn't left us either. In the word and the sacraments, he still comes to us, remains with us, suffers with us. So that even as we suffer, here he is. In suffering, giving us forgiveness and life. Again, none of us would tell the woman in labor, shout for joy. But do you know what a husband would tell his wife? Keep going, honey. In just a little bit, the baby will be here. Keep going. He reminds her that at the end of this is life. And so she knows that she suffers in sorrow with hope. So that in hope, even enduring anguish, she has a reason in her heart as she suffers in pain to also shout for joy and sing praises for God. Because she knows the purpose of it all is life. And so Christ says, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. After their sorrow, the disciples on Easter then saw him and touched him and rejoiced because in him was life right before them. Now Christ would 40 days later leave them again in the ascension and they'd go on suffering without him again. But in this anguish and persecution, their hearts shouted for joy and they sang praises to God. Because they knew that their waiting and persecution and martyrdom was for a purpose. It was for life. And it's same for us now as we suffer. In suffering, we suffer, well, here in this life, we suffer in sorrow. And yet, as we suffer, here is Christ in his word. The bridegroom telling his bride, the church, keep going. In a little while I'll return. Keep going. I am with you. Keep going. And in the sacrament, we see him, we touch him, we taste him, and in our suffering we rejoice. And we'll leave the altar today like we always do and go back into this anguish of the world in this week. But even in anguish and suffering, our hearts will shout for joy and praise God, because the suffering in Christ has a purpose. The purpose is on this altar. We wait each week for life. We suffer each week preparing for eternal joy. It has a purpose. And the psalm continues in this purpose. It says, "Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip?" Our purpose, our suffering, has for its purpose life at its end. But there's more to that as well. If you think about the woman who was in labor, after labor, as she holds her newborn babe at her bosom, she doesn't then remain silent. She doesn't go through all that and hold the joy and remain silent. Instead, she holds the child and invites her husband and children and family and friends and everyone to come and see the life that God has created and given to her. She invites everyone to see how awesome this creation of God is as it blesses her life. And the apostles as well, when Christ ascended into heaven, they didn't go back into the upper room and lock themselves in again just to shelter themselves away from the world. No, when Christ ascends, Luke tells us they go into the temple, they shout for joy, they sing praises to God. They worship God publicly to be heard. And in being heard, they invite all who would listen to come see what Christ crucified has done and to join them in praising God, in seeing how awesome his resurrection for mankind was. And that's what we do as well. We always think of evangelism as some difficult, fearful task that we dread. But evangelism really at its heart is nothing more than leaving the altar with hope and suffering, with a joy that just can't keep quiet. It's just something that we have to share with those that we are close with. It just comes up in conversation with those we love, with those who talk with us. And so we share with those that we're close with, because we can't help but share the cross and resurrection of Christ. Evangelism is really as simple as coming to church, receiving Christ, and publicly singing with the congregation and letting people hear it and see it and letting people join us in it. Because what are the peoples to think when they see us who suffer in the church enter here on Sunday morning and in suffering then shout praises to God with a joy that can't be taken away? Where when we lay down our life in him, he keeps us somehow among the living. We're in danger, he keeps our feet on steady ground, and then we come here surrounded by that danger to shout for joy and jubilation, to express a joy that the world can't give, to experience a joy which only comes from the Lord. This is a joy that we can show when we gather together. And this is a joy that calls all those others who are suffering outside the church to come in and join us. And so we may mourn now while the world rejoices. But in a little while, in fact, in just a few minutes, the joy will be yours. And in just a little bit, our Lord will return to give us this eternal joy in full. So that while we sorrow now, we will have joy. And while the world rejoices now, they will bend the knee. And for that, we give thanks to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
company of the apostles, praise thee. Goodly fellowship of the prophets, praise thee. The noble army rules, praise thee. Holy church throughout all the world doth acknowledge thee. Upon thee to deliver me, man. Didst humble thyself to be born of a virgin. When thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Thou sittest at the right hand of God. Pray thee, help thy servants, whom thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood. Make them to be numbered with thy saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save thy people and bless thine heritage. This day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us, as our trust is in thee. O Lord, in thee have I trusted.
O Lord, have mercy upon us. O Christ, have mercy upon us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, who shows to them that be in error the light of your truth, to the intent that they may return into the way of righteousness, grant unto all them that are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion, that they may avoid those things that are contrary to their confession of faith, and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. And we beseech you so to implant your word in us that, in good and honest hearts, we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith by patient continuance and well-doing. Most heartily, we beseech you so to rule and govern your Church Catholic, with all her pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, whereby faith toward you may be strengthened, love and charity increased in us toward all mankind, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to Joseph, our President, the Congress of these United States, Kim, our Governor, the legislature of this state, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after your good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please you also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and hostilities, and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for your name's sake, comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of your fatherly will. Especially do we pray for those that we name in our hearts at this time. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat you, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions, but out of your unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with your blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring before you. For by his blood your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour shall come, support us by your power and receive us into your everlasting kingdom. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise, and with thy honor all the day. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We give thanks unto thee, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son, that thou hast protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech thee to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds we may serve and please thee. Into thy hands we commend our bodies and our souls and all that is ours. Let thy holy angel have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.